Well, good morning, family of God. It is so wonderful to see you guys all here on the January 1st. Wow, Happy New Year. Yeah, exactly. May it be happier than the one before, the one before, and the one before that, right? Yeah, exactly. Ever since 2020, things have been a little unhinged. But we worship the God who is in control of all things and the one that we rely on in all times. And so we move forward with confidence even in the middle of lots of unknowns. So, well, let's begin our worship service today. And let's remember the day that we became one of his children, one of the people that he watches over and walks beside and lives within when we became baptized. So let us remember our baptism in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's pray, folks. Please stand as we pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you are a God of all. You are the God that is in control of all things, Lord, and you are a God that welcomes us into your presence today, Lord, not because we are worthy, but because you have declared us worthy by the death and resurrection of your Son, Lord. We look forward to this time that we get to open your word and hear from you, and that our hearts are convicted, Lord, but also comforted with the knowledge, Lord, that you are enough to cover our sin. You are enough. You have done everything necessary, and we can have comfort in you. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be able to receive that message, Lord, deeply today, so that we can walk in confidence into this future. Thank you, Jesus, for all of this. In your holy name we pray. Amen. All right, now let us confess our sins to God our Father. I, a poor sinner, plead guilty before you of all sins. I have lived as if you did not matter, and as if I mattered most. Your name I have not honored as I should. My worship and prayers have faltered. I have not let your love have its way with me, and so my love for others has failed. There are those whom I have hurt, and those whom I have failed to help. My thoughts and desires have been soiled with sin. I am sorry for all of this and ask for grace. I want to do better. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, let us sing to this amazing God, and let us give praise to him because he has come.
Good morning, and a blessed new year to you all. My name is Brian Falls. I'm an elder here at St. Mark's, and it's my privilege this morning to read the first scripture to you from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, verses 4 to 7. But when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are his child, God has made you also an heir. The word of the Lord.
The sermon scripture reading for today is Matthew chapter 2, verses 13 through 23. When they had gone, that being the wise men, we'll talk about them next week. When they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Get up, he said. Take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. So he got up, took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod realized that he had been outwitted by the Magi, he was furious, and he gave orders to kill all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old and under, in accordance with the time that he had learned from the Magi. Then what was said through the prophet Jeremiah was fulfilled. A voice is heard in Ramah, weeping and great mourning. Rachel is weeping for her children and refusing to be comforted because they are no more. After Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, get up, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who are trying to take the child's life are dead. So he got up and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning in Judah, in the place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. Having been warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee, and he went and lived in a town called Nazareth. So was fulfilled what was said through the prophets, that he would be called a Nazarene. All right, children, it is now time for you guys to come forward. It is time for the children's message. All right, so who's tired this morning? Who stayed up way too late? Nobody stayed up too late, but everybody's tired. I understand. That makes sense to me. I really do get that. All right, well, very good. Well, today, did you guys just hear the story I just read? Okay, well, here's what happened in it, right? Okay, so Joseph, you know who Joseph was? Yeah, that was like the guy that was raising Jesus. He had a really important job to do. He had to work, he had to be Jesus's father. He had to be the one to take care of Jesus. Now, Jesus's real father was God, right? But Jesus needed a father to take care of him, and that was Joseph's job. All right, so Joseph's job got a little hard, though, because it wasn't like he was just able to take care of Jesus, because all of a sudden, an angel came to Joseph in a dream and said, somebody is trying to kill Jesus. You need to go to Egypt. All right? Why? That's a really good question. Why Egypt? Egypt's a kind of a faraway place. Do you think Joseph knew anybody in Egypt? Probably not. So what on earth was God doing sending Jesus and Joseph to Egypt?
I would go to like Elizabeth.
Yeah, you'd think there'd be better places to go, right? Yeah, but God had a plan. And Joseph, even though he was like wondering, what on earth is going on here? I'm not exactly sure I understand this. He said, you know what? I'm going to do what God tells me to do. You think it was important that he did what God told him to do? Yeah, I think so, because King Herod really, really, really trying to kill Jesus? He really was. And so the thing is this, Joseph obeyed God. And does God give us stuff to do?
Yes.
Yeah, he sure does. Is the jobs that God give us kind of important?
Yes.
Yeah, like what kind of jobs does God give us?
Love.
Love people? Yeah, that's right. Cleaning your bedroom. Yes. Through your parents, that is definitely a job God gives you. What other kind of jobs does God give you? Guys, remember, what did we just celebrate? We just celebrated?
The New Year.
Well, Christmas, right? Yeah. Right. And what happened at Christmas?
It was his birthday. He was born.
Right, Jesus was born. And what does God tell us that he wants us to do now that we've heard about the message that Jesus was born? Yeah. Do you remember the shepherds? What did they do? When they heard and then they visited Jesus, what did they do? They went away and they told
everyone.
They just told everyone.
They went everywhere.
Right. Does God give us the job to take his message and to share it with lots of people? Is that a really important job too?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Very good.
Spread the news that the Savior has been born and saved us from our sin.
That's awesome. Yep, that's exactly right. And so we basically, that is the deal. We do the job God gives us to do, and we do it as hard as we possibly can. And do we do it because we want to make God love us? Nope. Because God already loves us. How are you going to make him love you more? Right? Why do we do it?
Because
we love him.
He's our Father.
Yeah, exactly. And do we want to make God happy? Because he saved us? Do we want to love him because he loved us? Yeah, that's exactly right. So very good. Can we pray? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving us so much. Thank you for making us your children. And Lord, I thank you for giving us work to do. Help us, Lord, to do it just like Joseph did his job. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Now it's time for a little worship. So you guys can go to the cross. And the rest of us are going to open God's word right here and now. So, Happy New Year's, everybody. And that was a year, wasn't it? A few things happened, right? I mean, what do we got? One of the things that we can kind of predict about last year was the wild inflation ride. That was fun. That was good times. Yeah, grocery bills are not what they used to be. Much more money, much less food. Let's see here. What else we got? We got war in Ukraine. That was a good time. You know, still going on. That's an interesting thing. Who would have thought that was coming in January, right? We got, let's see. Oh, the death of the queen. Didn't see that coming, did we? There you go. Another thing. Roe v. Wade being overturned with the Dobbs decision in the Supreme Court. I mean, that was a momentous event, a really big deal, and quite... kind of unpredicted. Everybody thought that we'd get some kind of favorable ruling, but who'd have expected a full overturn of Roe v. Wade completely? We had all kinds of crazy things happen this year, things that we couldn't have expected, things we couldn't have predicted. And here's the real question I have for you. What's going to happen this year? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can see the world is kind of a crazy place and things are becoming more and more hostile to Christians. I mean, that much we know for sure, right? I mean, the culture is definitely not friendly. It's definitely not pushing us in a direction that we're comfortable with. And now there's more legislation being passed that, you know, compels Christians to say things and to do things that work against their conscience. And I mean, the one thing I can tell you about the future is it's a little scary, you know, just a little bit. So what on earth is going to be next? Well, what is our response to not knowing what is next? Some people are afraid. They get scared because if I don't know and I can't control it, then it's just scary, right? And that's a really tempting thing to do because we kind of like to be in control. You know, I mean, it's just kind of a nice thing. You know, when our plans don't go the way we want them to, it causes us to become emotional, either fearful or angry or anxious or something. Something is going to come from it. And the question is, well, how are we going to deal with this future? And I've even seen articles written asking if people should have children going into the future, because the future is so like frightening and we just don't know what's going to happen next. Which seems like a really big question to ask, right? So here's the real question. How in the world do we face the future? What are we going to do? How are we going to have any kind of peace and security heading into this future? Well, let's look back. You know, all the way back to when the children of Israel were in Egypt, right? The devil's been working at trying to make things difficult on the people of God for a very, very long time. Back in Egypt, it was all about using Pharaoh and the government to make life miserable for the people of God, the Hebrew people, the people that God had chosen through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. And as the people were growing in strength, the Pharaoh was afraid, and so he had the male children killed, right, to try to weaken the children of God. Did it work? No, it didn't work. It's what happens when you fight God. Things don't work. But nevertheless, Pharaoh did it, and it was horrible, and it was hard, and it was difficult. But God's preserved his man, Moses, had him trained up, and used that man to get his people out of Egypt. And he did it through unbelievable miracles. Even though the power of the government was against him, the power of God was for him, and government didn't even have a chance. I mean, it was as if Egypt had lost a war to God. You know, the town was burned with the fire, and the crops were destroyed with the hail, and the locust came and ate what wasn't burned or, you know, destroyed by the hail, and the animals were sick and dying, and the people were sick and dying, and the food was gone, and just think about it, the entire nation was just turned upside down. And for the final touch, when Pharaoh sent his army to bring the children of Israel back, God even destroyed the entire Egyptian army. Is as if they have lost a war, because they did. They lost a war against God, and God took care of his people, because that God is that powerful. And now we are in another epic struggle in our text for today. It's funny enough that Egypt is still involved, right? The devil is trying to disrupt God's plan of salvation. God became flesh and lived among us, and he's this innocent little baby, this child that can't even take care of itself. He needs to be cared for by his mother and by his adopted father, and that adopted father was, as we said in the children's message, obedient and did what God asked him to do. An angel appears to Joseph in a dream and says, "Go to Egypt." And he went. And then he says, "Come back from Egypt, because Herod is dead." And he comes back. And then he finds out that this other guy took over, Herod's son, and it was really scary. He was just as wacky as his dad. And so he settled in this little town of Nazareth, way out of the way. And the thing is that, you know, Joseph could have been petrified. He could have been so afraid. He could have given up. He could have said, "You know what? Everything's against me. I can't win. It's just over. I just back off. I'm not doing this." But he didn't, because God gave him marching orders. God said, "Here's what you need to do. Here's how you need to act. Here's where you need to go. And I will continue to guide you." Are we happy that Joseph was faithful? Well, yeah. Could God have done it without Joseph? Sure. But Joseph was faithful. And what I love about this text is this. The devil thought he was so clever. using the power of the state, the power of this crazy king, King Herod, against the plan of God. You know, because the devil does wield a lot of power in this world. But was it anything that really derailed God's plan? You know, the way the text reads is that it looks as if it's like this just in time Jesus left and just in time he came back and just in time, and it was this epic struggle between good and evil and good almost lost, except for one thing. All of it had been prophesied thousands of years earlier. You know what I'm saying? I mean, did God already know before Jesus even came that he was going to have to flee to Egypt? And exactly why? You know what I'm saying? Did God know that out of Egypt his son would come back to the land? Did God know that he was going to settle in the land of Nazareth or in the town of Nazareth? All of these things had been prophesied. And here's what I want you to take from this. The future is full of unknowns for us. But none of it surprises God. The good and the bad things that happen are all known to him. And the God who saved us, the God who did all of these miraculous things to rescue his people and to keep us, and to make it possible for us to be saved, for Jesus to complete his work on earth, to grow up and to be the God for us, God with us, the one who teaches us, the one who leads us, the one who guides us, the one who dies for us, the one who rises for us, and the one who is now in heaven preparing a place for us, that Jesus. That God, if he was willing to die for us, is he not willing to walk with us today? Is he going to drop us now? And so, folks, as we go into this future, here's what we know. We have a God who loves us and cares for us, a God who guides us and teaches us. He told Joseph what to do through dreams, right? And sometimes I think we would like that, except that we'd probably remember the dream wrong or something. It probably wouldn't work out as well as we think. But nevertheless, God communicates to us through his word. He teaches us through his Holy Scripture, and he tells us this is what you need to do. This is where you need to go. This is how you need to live. This is how you respond. Here's the things to think about. He tells us all these things. And then he turns us loose in the world and he says, now go do it. And do we do these things to earn his love? Be hard to earn more love than what we already have. I mean, if God's already died for us, he kind of showed us he loves us already, right? But we do these things because as his loving people, as the people who respond to that incredible love that he has shown us, we want to be his people in the world. We want to do his deeds, his works. We want to do it right. And so as we head into this future, let's do this. First of all, let's pray to God and ask him. Thank him for knowing the future, for being our God. And then let's ask God to give us peace and faith that accepts that unbelievable love and provision, that protection and that care. And then let's ask that God would help us to have obedient hearts, bold to serve him and to do what is right. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, Lord, you are an amazing God, amazing beyond all things. Your knowledge, your wisdom, your unbelievable forethought, Lord, it's just amazing. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you love us. Against all logic and reason, Lord, you love us and you saved us and you made us your children. And Lord, because of this, Lord, we want to do things that bring honor to you. We want to worship you with our lives and our choices. Help us, Lord, to respond to your incredible love. Help us to be faithful as we go about our daily tasks, Lord, as we face this future, as we make plans, as we respond to the things that are happening in the world, Lord. Let us do it in a way that brings you glory. Thank you, Jesus, for your great love. In your holy name we pray. Amen. Please stand as we confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again, of course. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this beautiful day that you have given us, Lord. Another day in which we get to hear of your word, hear of your gospel, hear of your law, your guidance, your explanation for how it is that we are to live our lives in a way that brings glory to you and causes us, Lord, to at least a little bit resemble the perfection, Lord, that you have already made us, declared us to have. Lord, I pray that you would work through the Spirit, Lord, to give us that faith and that obedience, Lord, so that we can be your people in this world. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with all of your people in our congregation, especially those who are weak or sick or ailing in any way, Lord, that you would continue to give them strength, that you would continue to make your presence known among them, Lord, so that they are able to have peace in you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with our country. Lord, there's so many things not going according to your plan, according to your word in our country today. Lord, I pray that you would continue to pull people into obedience to you, that you would help us, Lord, to help people to see your truth and to see the way that would be best for them to go, and not continue to make decisions according to their own flawed logic and misperceptions, so that more people are harmed and your way is not followed. Lord, I pray that you would continue to be with your church as we head into another year of ministry to our community and in worship of you. Lord, I pray that you would continue to guide us. Help us, Lord, to see your way, so that we can follow you, Lord, with passion and with desire. All these things we bring before you today, and we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat, this is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, drink of it, all of you. This cup is a new covenant in my blood, shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me."
To touch.
This coming year is very uncertain. We have no idea what's going to happen. But we do know God's promises. And we will do the same things we have done in the past. We will open his word. We will read his word. We will learn from his word. We will go to the places where he is. We will meet him at the water of baptism. We will come to the table and receive the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the God who is over all, knows all, and loves you, that God is going to continue to give us everything that we need so that we can be his people and so that our faith will be preserved until he comes for us again. So knowing that we have received his body and blood in the sacrament, depart in his peace and in his joy. Amen. And receive our Lord's blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you always. Amen. Let's stand up as we sing the final song together. My friends, it is so wonderful to worship together, to come into the presence of God and be blessed by Him on His day from His Word. After the service today, there is not Bible study. That was an errant announcement by me last Sunday. We will be returning to normal Bible study in Sunday school next week, and this time I mean it. All right, very good. All right, very good. God's blessings on your day, and happy New Year to all of you.